Joshua chapter 10. And while you're turning to the Old Testament book of Joshua, let me ask you a question, or a number of questions. In this series on being free, has the Spirit of God surfaced something in your life already whereby it is hindering you from being all God's purposed for you to be? Are there some enemies that you've already come to confront and face in your own personal life that's robbing you of the joy and the peace and the tranquility that the Father yearns to give to your life? Jesus said in the Gospels that we've been looking at, He said, I came that you could have life and have it abundantly. He also said, when you know the truth will set you free. But somehow in our lives, we just live in bondage and we wonder why the bondage. We wonder why we are where we are. Why is it we are where we are? And we just go through life, and so many individuals go through the motions. They don't know anything of joy. They don't know anything of happiness. They don't know anything of the contentment that the Father can bring into their life. And they're just biding their time. So many people, believers, are just praying and looking for that day they get to be with the Lord, because they've just reached the conclusion in this life that you can't have freedom, you can't have peace, and you can't have joy. Well, that is exactly opposite of what Jesus says. Jesus says in the Gospels, when you come to know Him, there is something about the life that Jesus gives. When you learn the truth, there is something about the truth that sets you and me free, because it's the very eternal Word of the living God. And if you'll turn back this morning to the Old Testament book of Joshua, I'm not going to read all of the book of chapter 10, but in Joshua chapter 10, just to sort of give you a scenario of what is going on, God is calling the children of Israel to continue their journey to the promised land. And Joshua has come to face the reality that for them to go to the promised land, there are some very serious and some very real enemies that they're going to have to face and they're going to have to deal with. And in Joshua chapter 10, you will find five particular kings that set out to defeat and attempt to destroy the nation of Israel. Well, with Joshua as the general in charge, he makes it his business to go against these particular kings. And when you read very carefully what Joshua does, it is very sobering, it's very powerful, and it's very riveting, because Joshua shows no mercy to these particular kings, because they are doing their best to defy the people of Israel, to defy God's people. And there are so many parallels in that, because in so many ways in your life and my life, you may have been saved for a number of years and you've been a child of God. You know you're going to heaven when you die, but there are certain enemies in your life that cause a threat to your peace and to your happiness and to your tranquility. And if you'll slip down to the last three verses, I want to read Joshua 10, 40 through 43, just to give you a synopsis of what Joshua did to all that was around him. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, the south and of the vale, of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even to Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even to Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Whenever you read this entire chapter, there are so many scenarios when it compares to your life and to my life and the freedoms we miss. Now, for those of you that may not have been here for the last 4 weeks, we've been in a series on being free. It is the yearning of our Heavenly Father that you live your life free. What do you mean by free? To the point that nothing has you in bondage. Absolutely nothing. You're not in bondage to anything. You're not in bondage to any anxiety. You're not in bondage to any stress. You're not in bondage to any attitude. The only one that you're in bondage to is to your precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you look at the world of the medical world, And we find people in hospitals even this day, and they're there because of so many things that are taking place in their life. And I'm not saying that every person in the hospital for something like that, but you and I would be amazed at how many people are in hospitals all over the world needlessly. In other words, they've not learned to allow the Lord to take the problems in their life. They've not learned to face the enemies in their life. And that's exactly what this message is all about this morning. Because if you're going to have genuine, authentic freedom in your life, you and I are going to have to face the enemies to freedom. Now, if you'll get your outline out, there are about four or five things I want to point out this morning, because here's the reality that Joshua had to face in this chapter and all throughout the precious book of Joshua, and it's simply this. There are those enemies that prevent us from being what God would have us to be. In the life of Israel, it was a constant reality to the life of Joshua that there were all of these physical enemies, these individuals, these kings that desired to waylay the land of Israel. Listen, and you and I may be saved by the grace of God. You know you're going to heaven when you die, but you need to own up to the fact, and you need to face the fact in your own life, and you need to come to that point in your life that there are enemies that attempt to prevent us from being what God wants us to be. When was the last time you was tempted? When was the last time Satan brought a thought through your mind and an issue through your heart, something through your very being? Now, not to be tempted is not a sin, because the Bible says Jesus was tempted. But you think about all the things that are invisible that destroy us. Anger, that sense of rage and hostility and unforgiveness. And it's amazing it can happen just like that in your life. You know, it doesn't take a long time to develop unforgiveness and anger and rage in your heart. Let me just draw a real life scenario out of my own life just this morning on the way to church. It always is going to happen whenever I deal with something like this. I was traveling along, doing very well. Somebody came up behind me, flashed his lights. It wasn't the police, it was just somebody saying, "I want you to get over in the right-hand lane. I want you to let me by." And so I passed the vehicle and I got over in the right-hand lane. And he just went on by me, and lo and behold, the vehicle that was right behind him was a sheriff's car. But anyway, there was another conversation about that, but I turned to Charlotte, and I said, "You know what? I've got to ask for forgiveness." And she just listened. I said, "You know, I got over in the right-hand lane, but in my mind, I raced up on him, and I shined my lights in the fabric of my mind." Now, listen to me, you know what I'm talking about. You've done it too. But now, hear me very carefully. There are real enemies to destroy your life. And very immediately, the Lord had to bring me to an awareness, Benny, that's not who you are in Jesus Christ. And that's not who I am, and that's not who you are if you're a child of God. What has anger ever got you in life? What has resentment and ill will and unforgiveness ever gotten you? And you see, the one thing that so many believers will never face up to are the enemies to freedom. So many believers will never face up to the fact that there are some real enemies that are overcoming them. There's the enemy of money. Why are so many people in debt? Why are so many that they can't even pay and they're going bankrupt? Because the real enemy, it's not money. It is a deep attitude deep below that. If you never face your enemies, you will never have victory in life. You will never have genuine, authentic victory that the Father yearns for you to have. You will live until the day you die, but you will live your earthly life never knowing the joy of the Father. And you can go to church, you can sit in a pew, you can listen to a preacher until you die in your old age and never apply the Word of God. And you see, Satan knows he can't get our soul. If you're a child of God, there's no way he can get you as far as your soul and your eternity and your future, because you and I know the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But here's the reality. How many believers does he have in spirit? In other words, they have anger and they have hostility and they have rage. You're sitting here this morning and you can't listen to this message because you're mad at somebody in life. You're sitting here and you can't get over the fact, maybe you're mad at your spouse. You're mad at some other church member. You're mad at somebody, a church member that did you wrong years ago. There are enemies that yearn to destroy us. And if you never face up to the enemy, that's one of the things that Joshua would not deny. He was honest with himself. He didn't live in a make-believe world. He said, well, you know, those kings, they don't really do us harm. He knew those five kings in and around the area of Israel, they were out to destroy the children of Israel. Listen, if you don't deal with some of these things, you'll find yourself 50, 60, 70 years old, and all of a sudden your life, what happened to it? Because eventually the attitude got the best of you. Eventually that anger gave way to rage, and that rage gave way to some action. You would be amazed at the people this morning that are in prison. And if you listen to their testimony, I don't know why I did what I did. It just was a seething volcano. Now listen to me real carefully. Some of you are seething this morning. You can't enjoy your life. You never have enjoyed your life, and you never will be able until you come to that point, like Joshua, where you own up to the fact there are some enemies that are out to destroy my life. And it could be some of the ones that I've just mentioned. Listen, question is, what's the enemy that's working on you? Is it temptation? Men, is there some temptation that you're surrendering to and it's destroying you? Nobody knows it. Nobody sees it. But you're succumbing little by little by little. And the Bible makes it very clear, there'll be a day when God puts you to shame. You say, well, nobody knows about it, nobody sees it. Have you ever thought about this? When God puts you to shame, it's never a private thing. It's always a public thing. Some people and some preachers are being put to public shame because God sees and He knows what's going on in their heart and in their home and in their lives and in their silent moments. And you see, could it be that? Maybe some other areas is working in your life, and it's maybe some lust or a little envy or a little greed. And you see, the reality about it is we've got to face the enemy. Look at number two. Before Joshua dealt with any single enemy he faced and any of the kings, here was something that he had to do. He had to face them, and he had to own up that they were out to destroy. It is not easy to own up to the enemies that are going to destroy you. And I'm going to give you a personal example out of my own life in just a moment. It is not easy to bring yourself and to own up to some enemies in your own life that are out to destroy you. Do you hate anybody? Now, before you answer that, somebody ever done you wrong and done you dirty, stabbed you in the back, and you don't immediately want to say, I love them? You know, one of the hardest things the Lord brought me to in my own life, and I want you to listen, because I'm going to be transparent to teach you. One of the hardest things the Lord ever brought me to understand and realize some years ago was a man I hated in my life. Now, I could have said I didn't like him. That would have been a nice thing to say. I could have said, he's hurt me. That was true. But you know what the real issue is in my heart? I had hatred for him in my soul. Every Sunday, he would make my life a living hell. Every Sunday, he would sit on a pew about where James is sitting. And as I would preach, he'd go through his Bible trying to find a place where I made a mistake so he could confront me with it. And as I preach, I would be so jittery and so nervous. And my only heart's desire was to please the Father. And I'll never forget, I tried to pray and it seemed like my prayers weren't going anywhere, and they weren't because I was lying to myself. And I'll never forget, I was driving along. I wasn't kneeling or I wasn't in quiet time, but God had brought me to the point to say, Benny, if you're going to have any peace, you must admit you hate him. And I was driving along, I think it was on 25, and I just finally said, Lord God, I hate. And I named his name. And you say, what happened? Did God flatten all four of your tires? You know, make your car stop and you stall? No. Listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen. For the first time in my life, God brought me to understand, Benny, I'm not mad at you when you own up to what you're really feeling in your heart. When I owned up to the fact that I hated that man, I said, Lord, I hate him. But you've shown me, you forgive me of everything I've ever done. And because you forgive me, I forgive him. And I ask you to cleanse me. Now listen to me very carefully. It was one thing to say somebody else has an enemy. But it's another thing for you and me to admit to ourselves, this is the enemy that I'm facing in my own life. Is there somebody you hate and you don't want to face that enemy? You don't want to face the enemy of hatred. You don't want to face the enemy of resentment. You know why? Because you think, I won't really look that good in the sight of God. Listen, he knows your heart. He knows every aspect of your being. And when you're willing to own up to it, when you're willing to face the enemy, that's the only time you get close to defeat. And as I forgave that man for what he did, for what he said, for all the things that he had done to me, it was amazing how God changed my attitude toward him and showed me some things about that man that I never knew. One of the things about that man that I never had really stopped to think about, Lord called him to preach and he said no, and his life was miserable from that day on. And you see, here's the reality. If you don't face your enemy, if you don't deal with your enemy, whatever it may be, then you're just covering up. And you'll never have freedom. You'll never have joy. You'll never have tranquility. You'll never have all the wonderful things that the Father wants you to have because you're not facing your enemy. You see, you say, well, you know, my enemy is indebtedness. No, it's not. Listen, a person that is in debt, their enemy is not indebtedness. You know what your enemy is? You want. There's a self-centered life that you want what you can get out of life and you don't want to, you know, postpone. You say, I want it now and I want it now and I want it. Listen, it's self-centeredness that causes so many people to get into debt. It's not money. Listen, you take a person that, you know, that has a right walk with the living, with the Father, you give them a credit card and they're not going to be hurt. You know why? Because they know how to use it wisely if they have it. But you see, it's an attitude. And listen, you're going to live for as long as you're going to live. And the question is, do you want to live free or do you want to live under bondage? And so many will live in bondage. You know, one of the things that Joshua did, he had to face the enemy. Number three, he had to deal with the enemy. Now, there's something very interesting that happens in chapter 10. And I want to go all through it. But one of the things that Joshua did, he brought the kings out and had their heads put up, and they crushed their heads. Now, think about this a minute. How would you like for somebody to stand on your head and crush it? But most importantly, think about what Joshua, these men, listen, he showed no mercy. Why? Because they were enemies. You know what we do? We show mercy to our sins. We patronize our lives. And that's why you live in bondage till the day you die. That's why you really never come to freedom that God wants you to have. The freedom and the joy and the tranquility that only he can give. And you see in the life of Joshua, you know, Joshua plunged his sword. As a matter of fact, look in verse 26. In verse 26, here's the way Joshua killed these five kings. And afterwards, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Do you see how ruthlessly he dealt with the enemy? What do you do with your enemies? When was the last time you personally got on your knees or you got alone with the Father and you declared your sins before the Father? You know what our prayers oftentimes have come down to anymore? Father, help me. Father, I just pray that you'd help me this day. Listen, there is something wonderful. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. I'm getting quiet to get your attention. There is something wonderful when you kneel and you say, Father, I ask you to wash me of all uncleanness, cleanse me of all filth. Anything that's in me that's wicked, cleanse it from me. I ask you right now in Jesus' name. When was the last time you asked the Father to cleanse you? You see, A lot of times we just don't deal with our sins. You know what we do? We cover up, we come to church, we read a little bit in the Bible. But what happens is this, that unforgiveness mounts and those sins mount. And we get all frustrated and all upset. Listen, we don't deal with them. You must deal with the enemies to your peace. You must deal with anger, and you must deal with unforgiveness. You got to deal with all the enemies. You got to deal with those enemies of lust and greed and envy. What about the enemy of pornography? What? Listen, it is unreal where our world is when it comes to that. How do you deal with that enemy? You say, well, you know, a little bit of that, you know, it won't kill you. The Bible says you've been saved by the grace of God. You've been set apart. And you see, since Jesus took care of all of our sin debts at the cross, one of the things that he reminds us of, your sins have been forgiven, but what about my own life? Now, let me go back to the story this morning because I'm going to be transparent to every one of you. I got mad at that man. Just like that, I got irritated at him. I was driving along, and in my mind, I said, how dare you flash your lights at me? How dare you get right up on my bumper and flash your lights? You don't know that feeling, I know. Anyway, I got on up. I have to confess, I probably took a little longer to get in the right-hand lane than I probably should have. But the Father showed me in that moment of time, Benny, you see how quick it can happen? I don't know that man, never met that man. But in about 10 seconds, I lost my peace. He just wanted by, going on to a destination. And I quickly allowed the Father to deal with it, ask forgiveness, the way I felt. And he went on, and I did too. But you see, it happens that quick. You know it does. You're on your way to someplace, and you've got to be going, and somebody has a green light. And they don't notice the green light. And they're sitting there for 10, 15, 20 seconds. It's not the light, but all of a sudden you get mad at them. You get angry at them. You get resentful. And the whole rest of your day is awash. And you say, I don't know what happened. Yeah, you do. In that moment of time, you allowed an enemy of anger to become for unforgiveness, to be one thing. You don't have to know the person to be mad at them. You don't have to know a person to have unforgiveness. You don't have to know the person. And listen. When it came to Joshua, if you don't crush the neck of whatever enemy, you will never live free. So many believers in churches all over the world, but they're not living free. Just look in their home life. They go to church, and you know what will happen? So many people will go to church this morning, worship maybe 11 o'clock to whatever time they're out, or 10 to whatever, and then they'll go home and nothing will happen in their life. You know why? They heard, but they never listened. It's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to listen. When you listen, you allow the Holy Spirit to do in your life and to your life whatever he wants to do, no holds barred. When Joshua dealt with the enemy, one of the things that he had to understand, that only God could give him victory. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard anybody pray out loud, I hate. But here's what I knew. My freedom in my life meant I had to say that. Nobody was in the car with me. And for a second of time, the devil worked on me. Benny, you're a preacher and you say you hate? Yes. Don't you dare raise your hand at this question, but let me ask it. How many of you have found yourself in a situation you hated somebody for what they did to you? You didn't dislike them. You wasn't just mad at them. You hated them for what they did to you. Maybe it cost you your job. It cost you income. And maybe you still hate them. Listen, you can let that hate continue, or you can be reminded of the wonderful truth. Listen, God loved you when you were unlovable, and he forgave you when there wasn't really that much of you worthy of forgiving, but he forgave you anyway. And you passed that on. And that precious man, I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I forgive. And I named him. And I said, I release him. And I stood by that man's bed not too long before he walked out into eternity. And as I stood beside his bed, I just noticed my feelings for him. Wasn't angry at him. Wasn't mad at him. No ill will, no resentment. And only the Father could do that. You see, Joshua found that if he was going to deal with the enemy, he had to be ruthless. Ruthless means being straight up. Have you ever prayed? Listen, if you've had somebody you've hated, let me ask you this question. Have you ever said, "Lord, I hate," and named their name? The Bible says that we're to confess our sins. Amen? Confess means to make it known to the Father. You say, I don't want to hear myself say that. That was exactly where I was. I didn't want to hear myself say that. It didn't change reality. Now listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen. What you allow yourself to say out loud and what is really going on in your heart does not change reality. If you never say it, never speak it, it doesn't change what's going on the inside. The issue is, will you ever know the peace? And you see, victory becomes real. Look at the last principle. Victory becomes real when we utterly destroy the enemy. Joshua found, I've got to destroy the enemy. I've got to deal with the enemy. Now, in his case, it was real people. And you may say, well, I'd like to destroy the enemy. I'd like to go get that person who's done me wrong and done me dirty. I'd like to destroy it. No, that's not the way you do it. The Bible says very clearly, God showed his love toward us while we were yet sinners. You say, well, they don't deserve being forgiven. Maybe somebody's abused you. Maybe somebody has abused you in horrible ways. You say, well, they don't deserve being forgiven. But here's the reality. There's not a one of us in this room that deserve the forgiveness of God. You and I don't deserve Jesus Christ. We simply deserve to be banished. That's the truth. But in the love of the Father, he says, Benny, I love you. I know you're sinning against me, but I'm going to send my son to die for you, and I want to show you how much I love you. And when you get a picture of that love, something happens. You see, one of the things that happened in the life of Joshua faced the enemy, confronted the enemy, dealt with the enemy. The only one he didn't destroy was Gibeon, land of Gibeon, because Gibeon, they became allies with Israel. They realized that they were a special people in the sight of God. Here's what it will take, which you may not want to give. It takes tears. When you have hate towards someone, you get on your knees and you say, Lord God, I'm not going to lie to you anymore. I hate, or I have unforgiveness toward, and I ask you right now to remove that from my heart. You know what will happen? You'll hear yourself say things, and there'll be something that happens in your life that will transcend the human language. You see, Joshua realized that these attacks, they took time, they took energy, they took effort, they took planning. Let me say this, you don't plant. The devil will sure make it his business for you not to be free. You don't pray by accident. You don't forgive someone by accident. You don't get along with God by accident. And you know what happens? Our world is so busy, our world pushes us, and our world does this and all that to us. And we say things like, well, I don't have time. But here's the bottom line. There is a wonder, there is an amazing, there's a peace that is literally beyond human explanation. The question is, will you do what the Father says to enter into that? Now, if you just say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, Maybe your problems stem from way back there. Your enemy was your mom and dad. Now listen to me carefully. Listen carefully. You loved them, but they made life a living hell for you. Maybe you had wonderful parents. That's great. But you may have had a grandparent. You may have had a brother or a sister. You may have brothers and sisters, and they have made life torment for your life. Joshua knew victory came when he dealt with the enemy, attacked the enemy, and did away with the enemy. I wish I could tell you, time don't allow it, the journey that the Father's taken me. My first 2 or 3 years of pastoring, I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit because I couldn't handle what people said. I didn't take it positively. I took everything negatively. And everything that was said to me, I took to heart. And I thought, Lord, if this is what you called me to be, I don't want to be in it. Many of them meant no harm. It was just the way I received it. And finally, the Lord got my attention. Benny, it's not those people, but what they're bringing back to your attention is some issues that I want you to deal with. And the Father brought my attention to so many things. Now, I say that to say this. Somebody in life hurts you, but they just bring your mind's memories up of the past. There's no joy. You come to church and you just, you know you should be here. It's the right thing to do and you want to do the right thing. But listen, I can tell you this. Sunday is the most exciting day of my life. Sometimes I wish I could preach 2 and 3 hours. I'm not going to preach 2 and 3 hours. But I've wished. You know why? Because he set me free. He has brought a freedom in my life. He's done so many things by the precious power of his Spirit. Things that are beyond human words. Just the joy and excitement, exhilaration. Friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you'll never know that freedom. You'll never know what it's like to have that peace of God in your heart unless you deal with that enemy of unbelief. You say, well, I believe in God. That's good enough. Is it? The Bible says even the demons believe and shudder. They tremble because they know of the awesomeness of God. But if you never confess your sins, invite Jesus Christ in your life, you'll never know what it is to experience his forgiveness. You'll breathe your last breath someday, and then you'll die and go to hell. And you say, well, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. You have to listen. You have to go through so many things. You've been around people that are Christians and ignore conversation, ignore what you see, ignore a world that tells you about the living God. You're here this morning. You're saved by the grace of God, and you know there are some enemies. Maybe it's so personal and so intimate, you don't need to come publicly. But you need to, for the first time, own up to what your enemy is. While God deals with us in this invitation in just a moment, you respond. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for speaking through your word. And Father, there are so many enemies we face in life. So many enemies that desire to level us. And Satan wants to do his best to destroy. Lord, there may be a person here that for the first time they'll own up to hating someone. And Lord, they look at what was happened to them and they feel deserved. But Lord, you remind us that that hate destroys us. It destroys any sense of peace in our life, any sense of joy and possibility of joy. Lord, that person may simply need to deal with it privately. pray that you would bring them to do that. Lord, there's those who need to come publicly because they've never been saved by the grace of God. If they left this world today, they'll live unprepared. And if they die and go to hell and leave this world unprepared, it'll be their choosing. Because they've heard the message, they had the invitation, but you don't make anyone be saved. Your Spirit prompts and moves. And Father, I pray that you would draw whom you would to this aisle, to this altar, to this place. Holy Spirit, move among us. And Lord, there may just be individual after individual that need to come and pray for others, for circumstances, situations in life. God is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.